This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are talking about our next story for now, and it's about local council elections. Now, Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin said the ministry needs 3 years to prepare the working paper on the proposal to implement the idea. There is a goal. By the end of the year, her ministry will present the proposed amendments on acts that need to be changed.
And even though Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad previously said that the government is not open to the idea, YB Zuraida said that she will still present it to the cabinet.
So if the proposal does go through, it will be done in stages, likely starting in Penang, who they view as a mature state. In the meantime, her ministry will work with local councils to educate the public on local council elections. They will organise workshops and forums and have more engagements with communities.
Well, what will a local council look like? We're not entirely sure. But if you look at other countries, so if we look at England, for instance, so in England, specifically England, you have something like 400 or so members of parliament. But the local councils voted in different times. And so in England alone, there are 17,700 councillors,
right,
all of whom are elected. So you can imagine then you have very localized politics where a ward can encompass a mere couple of thousand people. So I want that to happen like nothing. I am so excited by that. I want an elected mayor of Kuala Lumpur.
So right now we do have local councils, but you're right, they're not elected at the moment. They are appointed. So when you say it becomes more local, that does matter, right? In two ways, I can imagine right now. One is that if you do elect them in, they will feel, local councillors will feel more responsible to those who voted them in. Hence, that relationship between voters as well as local councils will become much closer. And on that second point, it also means that they become more visible. So our problems aren't always just directly forwarded to our MP, which shouldn't even be thinking about these matters, honestly, because their focus should be on national level policies.
Yeah, so we have an elected official whose job is to specifically meet the needs of the local community.
Yeah.
And I hope that that gives us an opportunity to sort of depart, at least at the local level, depart from these racial politics that we see on the national level. So we can focus more on the needs of the community and, you know, see how beneficial that can be.
And to push that point a little bit further, so if we have an elected mayor of Kuala Lumpur, then it would mean that we can talk about specific Kuala Lumpur urban issues.
Yes.
Now, I think we should think about rural poor, for instance. We should. But then there are times when we need to talk about specifically just urban issues of life in KL, and concentrate on that unapologetically and talk just about that. And if we have a mayor of KL, then we can finally talk about Kuala Lumpur, which we never really are normally entitled to.
After this, we will be speaking to Oi Sun, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, for his thoughts on local council elections. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
7:16, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam, and we are talking about local council elections. Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin said the ministry needs 3 years to prepare the working paper on the proposal to implement the idea. So we're now joined by Oi Sun, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Oi Sun, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me on the program.
So in the UK, some quarters say that local council elections have greater consequences on voters than general elections. Do you think the same will be true for Malaysia?
Well, indeed, actually, we don't have to look that far to England or in my case, to the United States, to California and so on. We just have to look at Malaysia. Actually, we did have local council elections electing the sort of mayors, which the two of you just talked about, before the early 1960s. We have full-fledged local council elections electing mayors and councillors and so on. And then I think it's in the early 1960s, the government of the day, in all its infinite wisdom, decided to do away, to pass an amendment to the Local Governments Act and so on, to cancel away local council elections. So that's why now it looks something. It looks like something which is very strange to us, but it should not be. So for us, it's a re-democratization and, in a sense, re-education process, if indeed the Ministry of Local Government is going to go through with this proposal. So yeah, I mean, it is a right step forward to actually to re-democratize this country even further. And it would also enable and empower a lot of budding politicians to make their names known. Yeah.
So on that note, right, the fact that we had it before, but now seemingly there is so much resistance to it. Tun Mahathir, the Prime Minister himself, said he's not keen on the idea of a local council election. What is the fear surrounding it, considering the fact that, you know, we had such a robust system until the 1970s?
Early 1960s, actually.
Oh, right.
You remember what was that before Barisan Nasional? There was Perikatan, and then there was MCA, UMNO, and MIC. They cooperated in the Kuala Lumpur City Council elections, and then they became Perikatan and then BN. And then there was this party, the PPP party, the People's Progressive Party. They made their names known, being councillors of Ipoh City Councils and so on. So it was a very vibrant political scene there. So vibrant that the government of the day at that time was a bit fearful of two things, actually. Number one, that there might be communist influence at that time, because you might remember those were during the so-called communist insurgency times. And then number two, I think there were some worries that the local council elections would be sort of racialized at some point, because some cities, they are more one racial groups than others and so on. So there was this worry, but I think the primary worry was about communist insurgency here. Yeah.
How would local council elections change the way states are governed, and how will it impact the people?
Well, now, you know, when we try to deride our members of parliament or our state assemblymen, we always said, oh, they are good for nothing, only tunjuk longkang, right? So why do they have to so-called tunjuk longkang? I mean, because, the drainage system is not performing well. And actually, it should have been the job of the city council or city councillors to take care of these sort of matters. But because we don't have elected city councillors, they are just appointed officials. So they don't even bother to tunjuk longkang, to look at the longkang. So the elected MPs, the elected ADUN, state assembly persons, would have to do their jobs, essentially. So if they can free up our MPs or state assembly persons, then they can really do, hopefully, draft some useful national or state-level laws for all of us. Yes.
Now, with local council elections, there would be, well, a lot more political candidates standing for office. And who do you think they would be, and what impact would it make on the present political parties?
If you look at the examples, both of our own country, in the past, as well as you pointed out, in England, and in my case, in the United States, you see it's like a training ground for budding politicians, as I said. You will see primarily, actually, young people, let's say in their early 30s, they wanted to sort of make their first baby step into politics. So they run as a city councillor. If they are successful, then they run for mayor. Then by the time they are state assemblymen or MPs, then they are in their 40s already and have the maturity to help govern a state or a nation, in which case, yeah. So it's a first step for many budding politicians here.
And how would local council elections impact our political landscape? And as I guess to make reference to the point you just made, it does seem as if we would have more well-trained political leaders.
Well, it would depend on whether you want to make it a partisan or non-partisan. I think in England, city council elections, if I remember correctly, they are partisan. Namely, for example, you run as a conservative for Labour and so on. In the United States, very often at city levels, you don't run on the party ticket. You run as an individual, like here we call it bebas, like independent candidate. And it would require you to be very articulate then, because you can't really depend on the party mechanism to help you win the election. It will really be training you as an individual politician before later on you join a political party for national or state politics. Yeah.
The Housing and Local Government Minister, Zuraida Kamarudin, said that if all goes well, the local council elections would happen in stages and that Penang would be one of the first states to implement it given its maturity. Why do you suppose Penang is a good place to start?
Well, I think the people and the government of Penang have always clamoured for it. Huh? They felt that they are ready to reinstall local council election. Again, bearing in mind they did have such elections, let's say half a century ago. And as you could see, Penang was and is always one of those first states to make their voices known politically. They elected, at that time, Pakatan Rakyat government back in 2008 and then so on. So I think it's a state whereby, number one, is, as you said, politically mature. And number two, it's a very urban state. Huh? So you can really try it out in Penang with a large concentration of population here.
So it's going to take three years before rolling out the new policies. What do you think would have to happen in those 3 years as a preparation?
Well, number one is to really draft out a well thought of election plan. For example, when you elect city councillors, would you elect them on by districts, just like MPs and state assembly persons, or would you elect them, by the number of votes? Let's say the top five candidates will get elected, and so on. So this you have to decide, right? And after you decide upon all this, then you have to embark upon an education campaign to reacquaint the voters with their rights to vote in local elections. For example, if you decided upon this sort of candidates by the number of votes, then you have to teach people how to vote, essentially, because we usually vote by constituencies, right? So throughout this process, hopefully by the end of the 3 years, you will really have a more well-acquainted voter base here.
One final question for me. Politicians never like to relinquish power and or share power. Now, if there were an elected mayor for a capital city, would that could that become, in your opinion, seen as an emblematic sort of alternative leadership in the way that, I don't know, for instance, Boris Johnson was the mayor of London, is now the prime minister of Great Britain. Would a prime minister, say, be frightened of creating a position that could be a challenge?
Well, it would naturally be so. If you look at the examples of Boris Johnson, as you mentioned, and now the new mayor of Istanbul looks set to challenge the Turkish national government, right? But there are also other counterexamples. For example, do we even know who is the mayor of, let's say, Washington, D.C., right? I mean, he or she is certainly not a challenging figure against Donald Trump. So it would really depend on the character and the charisma of the individual politicians here.
Isan, thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you.
That was Oh Yi-san, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, speaking to us about local government elections. So thank you so much for your messages, and please do keep them coming. 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.